So, Father, we just come to you in the name of Jesus, and I just thank you, Lord, for this place. I thank you for a place where we can study your word together, we can grow together, we can learn more about you, hopefully be changed and grow closer to you. I thank you, Lord, that we are in a place that has conflicting forces, and that there is a battle for souls, Lord. But there also is a battle for us, even though we're saved, Lord, there's that battle of just giving our whole lives over. And that battle of trusting you, whether it be day to day or whether it be big things or little things, Lord, trust is very hard. And so, Lord, I just pray that as we learn a little bit more about trust, that today we would walk out here understanding you more, understanding you better, and maybe even just a little bit more surrendered. I would ask that we would give every ounce of our lives, Lord, but you're a gracious God, you know, a smoking ember you don't put out. So, Lord, just what each of us is ready by your will to give to you, that we would surrender that today, God, and that we would grow in trust and grow in trusting you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We did Rooted in Christ last time, and we talked about being rooted and who we were rooted in. And I really loved that when I asked you, who is Jesus to you? And you were coming out with all these things, and I thought, that's who you're rooted in. You know, that's the love that you're rooted in, the friendship that you're rooted in, the God that you're rooted in. Should we turn the light up higher, or is that okay? Is that, I'm so blind, as we all know. So tonight we're going to talk about growing the root of trust, which for me, I think, is probably one of the hardest ongoing roots that just keeps growing. You know, it might just be this tiny little shoot, but it does just keep growing. And I think it grows in small ways, and then there's days when there's just big issues and big things in our life that we just have to trust him with, big changes, big things going on, and we need to learn to trust him with. I feel guilty talking about these subjects with you because by no means am I a master. I'm learning along with you, and I don't want to be flippant and be like, you need to trust Jesus, let go and let God. I don't mean it in that way. I'm just, you know, I'm coming alongside with you in the journey and growing as well. The first verse I want to look at is in Jeremiah 17. And I think we should start with verse 7. I think in one weird way, I have three Bible studies wrapped up in one. So put your seatbelts on, buckle up. We're going to go a little bit all over the place. And I know it's going to be a hard as well, because at one point I'm going to actually start asking you to, like, maybe turn this way, turn that way, open it to this page, open it to that page. But it was really great because as I sat and I studied like throughout the 2 weeks, but each interval I felt that I got something new. I felt like, oh, that's actually a Bible study in and of itself. Oh, that's a Bible study in and of itself. And so we're just working it the way it came to me. So starting in chapter 17, verse 8. Is that all right? Everybody have that? Okay, how it reads in my translation is, blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. And when I read that verse, I thought, man, that verse is exactly what we're talking about. It's talking about, you know, the putting the trust in God with our lives, trusting him. And how when we do that, we become a full-blown tree. We grow in maturity, and we start to develop, and we start to function, and we start to bear fruit. And we don't have to be afraid when the storms come, because we're grounded, we're rooted in trusting who we trust, in whom we trust. So I just wanted to make my way through some of these words. The word blessed, I said blessed like as in happy, because remember we did the happy Bible study? I was like, does that mean happy is the man who... But actually this word is translated caused to prosper and to bear fruit. So we will bear fruit and our lives will prosper when we put our trust in the Lord. Now I'm not talking about financial gain or monetary gain. I'm talking about, this goes in reference to the very last line, you're going to bear fruit. When you start putting trust in God, he's going to start growing you up as a Christian. and you're going to start bearing fruit. And once you are drinking milk, you'll be eating meat, and you'll start maturing. Once you are having everybody hold your hands up, the next thing you know, you're going to start holding other people's hands up. And so you're going to start bearing fruit. So it means that you're going to be caused to prosper. And then when it says to trust in the Lord, trust is the words. To feel safe, I love this definition. To throw one down on one's back, just fully abandoned. You know, just abandoned. I can trust him so fully that I can literally just throw it all down and throw it back. To feel safe and secure. I don't know about you, but with God, I actually do feel safe and secure. That took me a while. I don't know about you, but it took me a while to feel safe and secure. I was always thinking he was going to punish me. No matter what I did, I was like, oh man, I did that. He's going to punish me. Or, if somebody finds out and then tells him, like he didn't know. I remember the first time somebody taught God knows your sins, past, present, future. Blew my mind, because then I thought, there isn't anything he doesn't know that I'm gonna do. That is, oh Danielle, I didn't know you were gonna do that. That changes everything. Let's rearrange the plan. No, he knows. He knows what's coming, and so I can feel safe and secure, and I can fail. Do you know? Isn't that a beautiful thing that God actually makes room for us to fail? He allows us to fail. He allows us to learn to crawl and get back up and get back on our feet and then fall again and scrape our knee a wee bit. And you go, oh, that's cruel. No, it's not cruel, because it's teaching us to stand. And how great is our God that he is so kind to us that he would allow us failure, that he would allow us failure. So it also means to fear nothing. Well, I can honestly say I haven't got that one down. To surrender, secure. And then I love this, and I wrote, I'm going to come back to this later in parentheses, this definition. Persuaded to trust. Persuaded to trust. Remind me that we're going to come back to that, okay? Persuaded to trust. So then he goes on, he says, blessed is the one, so prosperous is the one who trusts in the Lord, who surrenders everything and feels safe in the Lord, whose confidence, which also is the word trust, but it's a different Hebrew word. This word confidence means a refuge. So who's our refuge? The Lord is our refuge. It's where we feel safe. It's where we confide. It's where we go to confide. So you have a confidant, I'm sure, in your life. But Christ is our, hopefully, our number one confidant. It's where we go to confide and have refuge. He's our sure and firm hope. And it is used of the person on whom hope is set. So your hope is set. Your trust is set, your confidence is set, your security is set, not in your pastor and your pastor's wife, not in your church, not in this or that, your family, your whatever. Your hope and your trust and your confidence and all that security is put on to the arms, the back, the body of Christ. It's put on him. And that's how we grow in trust. And he says, they will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. And when it says to send out your roots, it's to send away, to let go, to stretch out. I love this because God wants us to grow. He wants us to stretch out. He wants us to expand. You saw those roots. I'm going to slap these on accident. He wants us to do that. He wants our lives to expand. He wants our tree to grow strong and healthy. He wants us to become a place of shade for others. But he doesn't want that all for others. He wants that for his glory and for you. You know, it's not all just about getting out and doing things. It's something that he's doing for you personally. For you personally. He never lets go of us, ladies. Never. It means to let loose, diminish, give over, cast out, let go and set free, to shoot forth. And I just see this constant growth. Like you saw those roots, they were just shooting out, and at one point, like three shot out at once. They're just, it's that growth that comes. You're going to be like this tree that just grows. And I wrote down to give, to send out a root of trust to God and separate your power from the situation and let God. It's saying, I'm going to take my hands away and I'm going to let my roots grow in him, and I'm going to trust him in this. I'm going to trust that he has my life in his hands, my maturity in his hands, my growth in his hands, the next step in his hands. That's in his hands, not in my hands. And a root is something that's firm. something that has a firmness. And this, you've seen, like, I was looking at the oaks when I was researching on YouTube, and man, their roots are, I mean, they're massive. They're massive. They're so strong and so firm. It says, we will not fear and we will not be afraid when the heat comes. And we've all felt the heat, haven't we? We've all felt the heat. We've all felt the heat. Is it getting too hot in here, by the way? Speaking of, actually, is anybody too warm? No, okay. But we all have felt the heat. And I was even saying to Vicky and Leona in the car, sometimes I look at my life and I reflect God through my life and I say, oh man, God's taken me through a lot. But what's so lovely is we forget how much God has taken each other through a lot. And I was saying, oh, if I could tell you some of the stories of what these women have been through. I didn't, because they're your stories and they're yours to share. But I was like, man. And I was actually even thinking of Kathy, because Kathy shared her testimony about how she felt the Lord's healed her now. And I just thought, you know, think about all this, about how it's just this long journey, but yet God takes us through every step of that journey. And we need to look at that in each other's lives and see that in each other's lives. And I think that helps us not fear as well. Not fear when we look and we say, as a matter of fact, somebody said to me one day, I just don't see how God is going to do that. I can't believe that God will do that. And I didn't know if it was right or wrong, but I was like, but I can see that and I can believe that. So let me see that and believe that for you until God's dealt with your heart, because I know that God's going to do that. And it's like kind of when Miles was a baby and Robert used to look at Miles all the time and he would say, oh, Miles is in there. I can see Miles. He's trying to get out. He's trying to talk to us. He's in there. Like, you're talking to him and you can see he wants out. And I'm like, I do not see that. I cannot for the life. What are you looking at? What exactly is it do you see? And then one day I was singing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. And he was blind, don't forget, okay, because he couldn't see me. Like, he couldn't see me. He could only hear me, but he also couldn't speak. So he was staring, and whenever I used to do Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, I used to go like this to him, making the little starry things. And then one day, out of nowhere, he just lifted his hand, and he started to do it. And I thought, he's starting to see. Like, he's starting to see now. So that thing that I couldn't believe, somebody else was like, God's doing something, you just wait and see, you know? And we need each other for that. We really do, so that we're not afraid. So we don't have to be fearful. And you know what? We don't even need to be dreadful. Like, we don't need to dread what does the future hold. We don't need to dread. I actually feel that those feelings, things like dread and fear and anxiety, I think they're massive comforts in the weirdest way. Like, we don't feel we're doing something unless we actually are a little bit anxious. Like, Lord, I believe, but I'm just a little, like, we need that thing to kind of keep us moving forward, and we sort of feed on it, which is what I was saying last time, is that that's our old nature. And for some reason I wrote, let's take the chance to be in awe of God and not in awe of what we fear. You know, we see what we fear, we go, terrified, what does the future hold? And I think we need to switch that on its head, and instead of being in awe of what we fear, we need to be in awe of who God says he is. Because he's so much bigger than what we fear. So much bigger. It will not be anxious. Oh, to not be anxious. I don't know why I wrote that. How we trust is, and then I wrote this down because I was thinking a lot about this. Our emotions play a big part in our lives, don't they? They play a big part. Our anxiety rises and falls with our insight. I heard that earlier this week, and I rewrote that in my own words. Anxiety as an emotional barometer of trust and based on what I can perceive. So you know how a barometer goes up and down with the temperature? So here comes the trial, here comes the worry, the stress, and all of a sudden my anxiety barometer is like through the roof. And then I can see in my own flesh a way out of that, so then my anxiety drops. And I'm actually not looking at how God is seeing it, because if I was looking at it the way God was looking at my life, my anxiety barometer probably wouldn't be like, ooh, up and down, up and down, I'm sweating, Lord. No, we wouldn't be riding this roller coaster of anxiety or stress or worry or fear. Those are real emotions, and we're meant to feel those things, but we're not meant to live by those things. We're not meant to live by them. And then as I was reading this verse, I thought it's so odd and it feels so out of place. Verse 9. It feels so out of place, but then the more I meditated on it, I understood it. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? And then I just wrote in big letters, why is that there? Because he's talking about this prosperity and this fruit, and you don't have to worry, you don't have to be anxious, and you're going to grow, and your roots are going to shoot out, and you're going to be trusting. And then all of a sudden it says, and then your heart, by the way, it's super deceitful. And then I was like, this is like a principle in the Bible. And the principle is this: if we lean on our own understanding, just our own understanding, we're going to just really be brought astray. Because we're going to run with our feelings. We're going to run with our perceived idea of what a situation was. As a matter of fact, Dave asked, there was a situation, and Scott said, Dave said, this is how I saw it. And Scott said, this is how I saw it. And then what they decided was, they had both perceived it completely different. And I think that's it. I think how we perceive an event, how we perceive something, is 100% not how God perceives it at all. God is above our ways. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. He is way above it. And when I say above, I don't mean like here and then there. I mean like on another plane altogether. And so this thing inside of us is ruled by our sin, our flesh, our old nature at times. And what it needs to be newly, it needs to be, well, I will make give you a harder stone, I will make it a hard flesh. It'll be restored. It can be restored. It can be changed. He says, come, let us reason together. You know, this can be restored. Remember we talked about the last time we met, about change and how people say you can't change, leopard cannot change his spots. But what we're finding is that leopards can't change their spots, especially after salvation. So this whole thing of perceiving things our way, understanding our way, that heart can be deceitful. Well, you know, you know what we're like as women. Do I need to elaborate? But we can be so easily deceived by our own emotion, our own perception of things. And if we don't have a true knowledge of God, we won't ever trust him. If we cannot have a true knowledge of God, which is founded in the Word of God, we won't trust him. Because we'll be living in what we think is true, which is God is out to get me, he wants to punish me, he doesn't love me as much as he loves them, and that old mantra that we used to say. So, our heart's beyond a cure, and who can understand it? You know, he knows. And I think that that's there to show us sort of this parallel. That if you're going to trust in me, I'm going to bear some fruit in you. But if you're going to trust in yourself, you're going to get deceived. And that's not to say that the knowledge that you have now is useless. That's to say that that alone is not good in of itself. It needs the truth of God on top of it. It needs the word to wash it. And then you need wisdom from people around you as well, which is another scriptural principle. So, as I wrote in my notes, now on to something different. So, go to your Bible. This, I hope you have fun with me. Go to your Bible and open your Bible. As a matter of fact, I thought of every one of you when this happened because I was like, oh, Lord, you're so smart. I don't know how to do things, but God knows how to do everything. So go to your Bible. Do you think that I could even begin to read that? Now go to the back of your Bible. You're going to have an index or like a dictionary or something, except for you internet users, you online app Bible people. No, just kidding. So go to that part. Do you all have that part in your Bible? You don't have a dictionary? You have to. No? Am I wrong? You got one, don't you? Right? Susan, okay. Well, right. Concordance? Yeah, same thing. Yeah. Topical index, topical concordance, dictionary, word study. Yeah. Now, if you've got it, look for the word trust. You can pretend. Vicky. So go to the word trust. Are you at the word trust? Right. I'll wait and see if are my other sisters at the word trust? Yeah? Yeah, okay. So when you get to the word trust, do any of you have the verse Psalm 37:3? Could we turn there? Psalm 37, 37, 3. Right, so 37:3. Now, I'm going to just read it just for the recording's sake, if that's okay. So Psalm 37:3 says, I don't want to go if I'm not supposed to go yet, right? It says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. So we went to our topical concordance, index, dictionary, whatever it is. We found Psalm 73 under, or Psalm 37 under the word trust. And the verse we found is trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord and do good. Now, if you're like me, you get nosy and you go, what else does it say? And then it goes on, it says, delight in verse 4, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. And then he says in verse 5, commit your way to the Lord. So in there are three practical things we can do in trusting the Lord. Do you see what they are? What are they? Someone's shaking their head. Yes, what are they?
Trust.
Delight. What? Delight.
Delight.
Commit. Do you want to circle them? So you know that they're there. So the next time you go, how do I trust God? Well, you can delight in him. You can commit your way to him. Remember our verse that we wrote down was to take your issues to him. That's how we trust in the Lord. We delight in him. We worship him. We talk to him. So there's that. And then as I was reading, because I'm nosy, verse 5 in my little center thingy column right here, it tells me that verse 5 has a connecting verse in 1 Peter. So if everyone wants to go to 1 Peter 5:7, see, I told you we were going to be doing this, but bear with me because there's a purpose behind it. 1 Peter, so it goes Hebrew, James, 1 Peter 5, 7. Right? And this is along the theme of trust. So we have 1 Peter 5, 7. And it says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. So what's another way in which we trust him? Cast your care on him. That thing that concerns you, that thing that you think about, that thing that you're worried about, that deep-seated thing that's like, does God really love me? And letting go of that and casting that on him. Does God care about my kids as much as I do? Letting go of that and casting that on him. You know, just casting all that on him. Right. So then I went back to the back. Again, back to the back. And I have a purpose once again, so hang with me. I'm only going to do this to you like three more times. So the next one is, does anybody have Proverbs 3, verse 5 in their little dictionary?
Yes?
Yes. Yes. Yay, Julie, got that. Right, okay, so let's go to Proverbs 3, 5. Right. I think actually this is the last one that we're going to go back for. So Proverbs 3, 5. Is that what it says? I have a note, but am I in 3, 5?
Mm-hmm.
Right, okay. So Proverbs 3, 5, I think we all might know this by heart. Yeah, we might, yeah? Trust the Lord with all your heart. Okay, let's just stop there for a minute. There's a reason why I want to stop there. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. So how do we trust in the Lord? With all our heart. Now, ages ago, you're not going to remember this because I've been doing this for, 7 or 8 years now. But ages ago, we did this verse. We broke it down very, very, very detailed. So the word, trust the Lord with all your heart. The word heart here is the Hebrew word lib. And this is everything in you. All your emotions, all your thoughts. Actually, the Hebrews call it the seat of who you are. And what I love about that is that throne that we want to sit on and determine how we're going to live is to be completely surrendered to him. And I think there's a theme that God's trying to express to us, and that is the old way is no longer good. You guys got to get rid of it. We got to get a new way. And the new way is you got to surrender that seat of authority that we have, that seat of authority that we take, my way. I live the way I live. Oh, it was so beautiful. We had the most weirdest Sunday. You're going to think I'm weird by saying this, but
We had the most spirit-filled Sunday a couple Sundays ago that it took us all by surprise. It took us all by surprise. It kind of just kind of blinded us, didn't it, a little bit. And we all just kind of, like, we all knew something was going on, but no one knew what was going on, but we were all just a little bit, like, in love with each other and in love with God, and we didn't know what was happening. And we did worship, and then when worship was done, Graham prayed a prayer that was so spot on with every single thing that our church is going through, just as a community. And what it was basically in a really sweet, because you know how, like, when you try to do it, unless the Lord builds the house, the laborers labor in vain, and when you do it, you're a little bit like, hey, we need to get our act sorted. You get like that. He just said it in a way that you knew God was guiding him when he was saying it. And it was basically just like, Lord, we've esteemed everything above you. You know, we've esteemed knowledge, we've esteemed sports, we've esteemed. And then he just started listing off all these things, and he was like, we've just put everything before you. We've sought as a people to be so much of this and so much of that. And really what we've done is we've forgotten that it's all about you. And it was just the most gentle, non-Danielle-like way. You know, it was very sweet. But then the minute he prayed that prayer, it was almost like just such a lovely understanding and peace was on all of us. And the rest of the day just flowed like that. We didn't want to stop praying. We just, like I said, we were all just in a different place. But the reason why I'm saying that is that goes back to that seat of authority, that seat of everything that you are. We need to trust the Lord with that. You know, we need to trust God with that. Now, I don't say, like, trust God with that. I know this is a long, ongoing process. But we do. We need to trust God with letting go of the old ways and taking on the new ways. And you go, well, my old ways are really good. But according to God's ways, they're not. So, now we can go on because, like me, you are also nosy. And we're going to go on to 6, and it says, we'll start with trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. So, in what ways do we trust God? In what ways do we trust him in that verse?
In all our ways.
We withhold nothing from God. And then he goes on to do this funky thing here that he did also in Jeremiah. He says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. And I just love that because I think, you know, reminder, entrusting him, that means surrendering yourself, surrendering your way, surrendering your understanding. And then I did my nosy thing where I went into my little no and I was like, Lord, what does that mean? So verse 5. I have a little tiny little note in there, a little footnote, that says to go to Jeremiah 9:23. I don't know why I put that, but we'll go. For some reason, that's the other way. I love this. Okay, so 9:23, this is the little side note that goes with Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, okay? And this is what it says. It says, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, and let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands me, and that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in all the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. And what I love about that is that our trust, all those things that we put our trust in, he's saying, don't put your trust in those things. Put your trust in this one thing, that you understand me. And the only way we understand him is by getting to know him. And the only way that we know him is by being in the Word. So I'm going to just read you some of my final little notes. I just wrote, now today, when we reflect on our hearts, are there areas where we harbor and are anchored to distrust, rooting ourselves in lies, fear, and anxiety? Are some of us in a pit of distrust? And then I just wrote down, trust God with our lives, our children, our marriages, our money, our jobs. Actually, that's just what that just said in Jeremiah. Our plans,
our health, our well-being, and our singleness.
And all of it. Because we tend to grasp out at those things. God knows what we're made of. He understands us. He knows. And that's why he reminds us over and over again, let that root go down deep into me. As a matter of fact, I put this quote down. I didn't say this. Somebody else said this. Deep roots forged down, gripping the heart of Christ. There, this is where strength is derived. Those deep, deep roots have to go down and they have to grip that heart of God. And that root of trust. And that root of walking away